today on Real Radio.
If you have this gift, you know it. And when that happens, it's often a very alone and lonely kind of a gift, because you'll have it and God will reveal something to you that is a secret, perhaps to let that person or that group know.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16 is a section that provides valuable insight into the various gifts believers have received and exercise for Messiah's glory, and their functions and purposes for the edification of his followers. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called
Using the Discerning of the Spirits and then many other powers. Jesus gets in a boat. He goes, it's about 7.5 miles, I think it is, across on the other side. He gets out, and right there when you get out of the boat is the hillside. There's still this tomb that they've kept. And then if you're standing right there, the only place in the entire lake is a little bit over. If you look back at the lake from this tomb and this graveyard, you look over to your left, and about 150 yards away is the only place in the entire Lake of Galilee where there's a steep hill that if you went over there and started walking down, you would tumble and crash into the water. It's the only spot, so you know that's the spot. Jesus gets in the boat, goes over there, deals with this guy to set the man free. The demons go in the pigs, run off into the cliff. Jesus gets back in the boat and goes back to the side of Tiberias over there. I like that. He goes through all of that just for one person on the offensive. He's discerning. Jesus knew that on the other side was this man. In fact, there were two guys, if you read all the Gospels, and it's mentioned here in Matthew, but the fact of the matter is, they were well known, and Jesus went there to deliver. The discerning of spirits, very important. Does every Christian have this gift? I believe the answer to that is no, but I think we should all pray and ask. I think it's a sovereign gift given independently, or individually, I should say, by the Holy Spirit. Not to be confused with the general discernment that we spoke about earlier. If you want a scripture reference to that, general discernment, by the way, it was 1 John 2:27. We mentioned it earlier. In 1 Corinthians 12:8, the Bible says concerning that, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and so on regarding the gifts of the Spirit, down to verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 12. And I like that because that means we need one another. The second point we want to see tonight is, why is the gift needed today? Why is the gift needed today? Because first of all, the body needs to be protected in defense against deception. We are being deceived today like never before, I think, in human history. Not only the church is under the attack of deception, but we are seeing people in the world being deceived by the most ridiculous things. And then I think some by the most spectacular things. I went and saw a movie the other night. Now, every time I do this, my wife like cringes. Don't even. We went to a movie because I wanted to hear this message that I was hearing from people. This is such an anti-Christian movie. It's such an anti-Christian message. So I wanted to go see this message that was in this movie. So I went, and it's just absolutely, whoever wrote this movie has got a real God complex. They're afraid to death that one God exists. Because when you come to the end of the movie, it's forget one God. I think we all can be gods, or we're going to be rescued by gods that live on other planets. And it's okay. Don't need to worry. And I thought, you know, when I'm sitting in that theater, I don't know if this has ever happened in a movie. I felt my discernment meter turn on. It just went boom. And I sat there through that movie and it went. And when I came out of that movie, I felt depressed. I felt spiritually oppressed. I felt like I had listened to 2 hours and 25 minutes of a false doctrine message presentation. And that's exactly what it was. It was the New Age gospel. And what a pulpit! Every theater around the world in Dolby Sound. What a pulpit. Don't believe in one God. There are many. In fact, in one of the scenes, you had to be watching for it. Someone had a sign. By the way, all the Christians in the movie look like idiots. Somebody had a sign and it said, Jesus is an alien in this movie. And that's exciting because you're going to be hearing more and more about that in the next several months or so, about Jesus being an alien. Where do people come up with this? Doctrines of demons. Ask, again, the New Age gurus. John Denver and his latest thing. Too many Rocky Mountain highs for John. John Travolta can heal himself now. He doesn't need anything or anybody. All he has to do is think healthy and think life, and he's done. Get a sore throat coming on? I'm fine. Just fine. John Travolta, your appendix are about ready to rupture. Nope. They're fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. Tom Cruise thinks he's a god. Girls, oh, but. No, he thinks he can save himself. Where do they get this? Where do they? $30,000 a week to talk to a channeler that tells them, okay, give me $30,000 a week. I'll talk to him and I'll mow his lawn on top of it, for crying out loud. That is ridiculous. What is going on? Doctrines of demons. People don't want to believe in this book anymore. They don't want to believe in the Bible. A lot of people can't even understand what it says anymore. Their brains and hearts are so polluted. You know what? Little kids, they say the word, you know what? They say this word, it's broken. You know what? The human race is broken. I remember in Russia, I was talking to this one translator, Oleg, just a precious guy. And he kept walking along, never complained, never. We were there in the dead of winter. We're walking everywhere trying to get something done. And he's like, Ben, what's the matter, Oleg? Nothing. What's the matter? I'm just not feeling good. What happened? Oh, I drank some water. I didn't boil it long enough, and my stomach's broken. It was so cute when he said it. He goes, well, my stomach's broken. That's what I did. Oh, here, have a piece of chewing gum, you know. I felt so bad for him. The human race is broken. It is sick. Like Isaiah said, the head is sick. It can't discern what's right or wrong anymore. And you know what? It's just not the young people. We're seeing old, gray-haired people that you go to for wisdom. And they're saying to people, they're saying to the young people, do whatever you want to do. Whatever feels good, do it. They didn't live like that. They weren't raised that way. And they've adopted this thing. What is it? Doctrines of demons, seducing spirits in the last days. Dangerous times. Do we need this gift? Yes, to protect the body against deception. We're at war with the devil and his demonic forces. Jack, don't talk like that. Oh, come on, it's true. Satan wants you to go, oh, no, don't. Peter says he's like a lion, roaring. He's not a lion. He's like a lion. But lions have teeth. Well, Satan got his teeth knocked out by Jesus, really, in the resurrection. Jesus got out of the tomb and went, he's defanged, as it is in your life. He'll accuse you, he'll attack you, he'll come after you. Yeah, he can make your life miserable, but he will not tear you in half. The world, on the other hand, is naked and open, not before God in that respect, They're naked and open with Satan right now. And they have no covering. Satan doesn't come in and attack them with a frontal attack. Roar! No, man, he comes in through a relationship. He comes in through a job. He comes in through the professor at school or whatever it is to pull you away from Christ. Or, if you're not a Christian, to keep you from coming to Christ. Very cunning, craftiness. It's the way Satan works. Ananias and Sapphira, a good example about why we need it in the church. In Acts chapter 5, you know the story. The church was growing. Satan was so upset. There were thousands of people coming to Christ every night. And their crusades. I mean, 3,000 people one day preached the gospel. 3,000 people come forward. You think Satan's going to sit back and, oh, that's so great. Look at your brand new little church. It's growing so good. He hates it. So he attacks. And how does he do it? He attacks the Christian church. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. Scripture tells us there that they had sold. They were having things brought to the church, and people were living as communally or common. So Ananias and Sapphira sold some land. That's great. There's no problem with that. But it says that they kept back a certain amount of money. That's not a problem. That's okay to do. The thing is that they lied about it. They sold it for $50, and when they came, they said, oh, we sold this for, and they lied. And then Peter turns to Ananias, and he says, Ananias, why is it that you've conceived in your heart to lie against the Holy Spirit? You haven't lied to men, you've lied to God. And then the guy drops dead right on the spot. And then his wife comes in. She was at Nordstrom's while whatever's going on. She comes tripping on in and, hey, look what I did with the money we just got. And Peter goes, ma'am, Sapphira. What a name, Sapphira. Her name means sparkly gem. You can just see her now. She comes in. She's got, like, disco balls hanging from her earlobes. You know, comes in. She's just really flashy. Sapphira. Sapphire. She comes in. Where's Daddy Warbucks at? Where's Ananias? Where's he at? And Peter says, you know what? The guys that buried your husband are going to come in here any moment and bury you too. You have lied in the body of Christ. Man, can you imagine that happen today? There'd be no church growth. Just think about that. It'd be terrible, you know? And then the next verse says, and great fear came upon all those in the church. Well, I should say so. You can imagine the next day, hey, we caught a fish. It was this big. Make you think twice. Peter was under the power of the Holy Spirit in the discerning of spirits to protect the body. That's heavy. In the area of pastoring, in the area of teaching, always in relation to the Word, always, listen, always in the way of discerning of spirits, very carefully, remember this, always in pastoring or ministering or discipling somebody in teaching, there should always be a deep and heavy dependence upon the Word of God when it comes to the operation of the discerning of spirits. If you have this gift, you know it. And when that happens, it's often a very alone and lonely kind of a gift, because you'll have it and God will reveal something to you that is a secret, perhaps, to let that person or that group know. And it will never be done through the operations of, say, a prophet who will stand up in the middle of the message, I've got a message. No, the person who has the gift of discerning spirits is broken over this thing. A lot of people who have that gift have a hard time sleeping at night because God is showing them things. And then they pray, and God gives them verses, and God gives them confirmation, and then they go to that person. And they say, you know what? And they come humbly. They never, if anyone ever comes to you, and they say, well, I have the gift of the discernment of spirits, and I need to talk to you. You know what? Just walk away from them. Listen, I have the gift of discerning spirits, and you know what? You're supposed to give me, hey, get out of here. You didn't know this, but there was a guy here when John Wolford was here. He came and showed up, and he announced to somebody, I'm a prophet. Well, the funny thing is, after I introduced John Wolford, I walked down the aisle, and I'm just walking out, and, you know, this place was packed. And God is so good, because all of a sudden, it's like, and, you know, I'm just, hi, God bless you, hey, how you doing? You know, I'm walking, and this is, you know, he's up here getting ready to do his message, and all of a sudden, boop, 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 I mean, just lock on. And I saw this guy, and I looked right at his eyes, and I just looked at him. And it was so weird. There's just, something's wrong. Just like that. And then guy comes up and he says, hey, we've got a false prophet. I said, is it that guy over there? Yeah. No, we're all sitting down. He didn't have a light on his head. He was dressed interesting, but he didn't have a light on his head. And I didn't see his clothes. I saw his eyes. And the Lord was just saying, right there, that one. And then when guy goes, hey, there's a guy that says he's a prophet. And I said, that guy right there. The Lord was warning, discerning. He does that to protect his body. There's times when you're speaking with somebody or you're talking to somebody or some situation, maybe you're even in a place, you're in a setting, and something doesn't feel right. You know what I'm talking about? You kind of, okay, I don't know how to explain this, but it's kind of like there's like hands on you, just barely on you, touching you barely. For me, it's like I don't feel comfortable here. It's weird. And then later you find out, or in that moment, the Lord says, turn around and walk out. And you just go out and you're not sure what the deal is. Discerning of spirits. To protect the body. When it comes to in the area of pastoring and teaching, God will, I think, confirm it through the Word. Jesus warns us in Matthew 7, verses 15 and 18. He says, beware of false prophets. They'll come to you in sheep's clothing. In 1 John 4, 1, John tells us, beloved, that's us, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they be of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And then finally this, how is the gift used? First of all, prayerfully and humbly. As that alarm goes off in your heart, I don't feel right about this person. And it's not a personality thing. It's not a cologne deal. It's, I don't feel right. Something's wrong. I can't put my finger on it. Lord, speak to me. Help me. And you pray. And God will speak. To destroy the person? No. To go to them, hopefully, possibly to speak to them, to help them. Or maybe it is to stay away from them. How are we going to know who's got a false prophet ministry or not? It is by the gift of the discerning of spirits. It's needed like never before. I'm running through this to end this, and we'll end it now. It's just that we've skipped over so many important things that maybe next time we'll come back to. How the gift is used. It is used with knowledge. Prayerfully, yes. With knowledge, yes. The Word of God will confirm to you over and over again what you should do. In fact, Christian, listen carefully. It doesn't matter, even if it's regarding this gift. Let God confirm whatever you're thinking with the Bible. You have an idea in your head? You think God wants you to move to Schenectady? Well, you know what? Get a verse. You know what? I promise you, if you come on into the office and you say, you know what? I just think that we should move to Detroit. You know what? That's great. You know what? Detroit needs people. You know what? The thing is this. I mean, Detroit needs Christians like you. That's great. Do you have, has God, are you leaning on a verse or a passage of Scripture that God has shown you? If you come up and say, God's calling me to Detroit and he's given me Matthew 28:19, then what am I going to say to you? Let's pray and God bless you. But if you just come up and say, you know what, I think God's calling me to Maui. You have a verse. Is God speaking to you? You know, I don't know, I just feel like he's calling me. What am I supposed to do? Tell you, I don't think you're feeling right. I'm going to say, well, if you think that's the way the Lord's leading you, what am I supposed to say? You're telling me God is giving you this feeling. Oh, God told me I should go. What am I supposed to say? I guess go then. But I'm always going to ask you, do you have a verse? Has the Lord confirmed a verse to your heart? In the gift of the discerning of spirits, the Lord will give that person scriptures regarding the situation that they're in. And then it is to be used with wisdom. The Christian who is gifted in this area will conduct it very fearfully and very wisely because it's a very serious gift. And finally this, you guys, it's not a popular gift. People are not going to flock to you because you might have the gift of discernment. In fact, they're going to stay away from you. Some of you have this gift and you may not even know it. Some of you I know, and I know that you have this gift and you're not even aware of it. There's been times when you've said to me, you know what, I think that this person and this situation and this and that and the other, I just, right now I can't, you know, really justify it or prove it, but you know what, the Lord is showing me this passage of scripture, and every time I pray about this person, I get this scene and this situation, and the Lord keeps confirming. And then you just walk away, and then later on, I'll hear about it or find out about it, or I'll already know, and God is using you to confirm it to me that this is a problem in that person's life. And it is, what's the word? I guess the word is awesome, which means the fear of God. That's what the word awesome means. It puts you in the fear of God. Man, he is alive, and he pastors his church. He watches over, and he does.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called United in the Gifts. It's actually a mini-series that takes a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16. We'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Well, coming up in February here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills is the annual Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference, and Pastor Jack is here in studio to let us know that there's been a major development.
Mike, that's right. It is a bulletin. It is a news flash, and let me tell you why. Up until now, we've been announcing that our prophecy conference would be having a charge of $50 per person, and that's to cover cost and to bring all these incredible speakers in from across the U.S. But listen, we've prayed about it here at Calvary Chapel. And in light of all that's going on around the world, in light of the financial crisis, in light of what's going on in the Middle East, terrorism, we've deleted that cost. We want as many people in this building as possible to hear what these great speakers are going to have to say. I know it's a risk, but you know what? For us, it's better to have people hear the word and delete the fee. So mark your calendars, everyone. You can find out more information by going to SoCalProphecyConference.com, SoCalProphecyConference.com, for what is now the Southern California Prophecy Conference, February 20th, 21st, and 22nd, and it is free. So we look forward to seeing you here. In fact, listen to this. The subtitle of the conference is Finding Hope in the Global Crisis. How fitting is that? God bless you. We'll see you right here.
Okay, so again, SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You can also call us toll-free if you'd like for more information. 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.